This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find all the best shows under the rainbow at pride48.com.
This is Relationship, a podcast presenting a gay look at traditional relationships and values.
With your hosts, the Cratellis. I'm Marco.
And I'm Tony.
We're back for another Woot Woot Wednesday.
Woot woot.
How exciting.
Indeed.
How are you feeling?
I am gearing up for something crazy at work.
Can you believe it's the middle of September already?
I can.
It's weird.
I know.
What do you mean you're gearing up for something crazy at work?
I have just a very large project that's going to take months, and it's starting.
Okay.
So it's going to be interesting. It's going to involve going all through all five boroughs with a very large team. It's going to be a lot of work, but I'm actually very excited about it, and I was honored to be selected to lead the project.
Does that mean you have to go to Staten Island?
Someone does. It's not me.
Oh, good for you. Good for you.
Although I went several times the previous month.
Oh, poor you.
Poor it's not you. That bad.
It's not that good either.
It's not.
But shout out to all of our Staten Island listeners.
Yeah, who are no longer our friends.
Who are no longer interested in participating and listening in this. Wow. What an interesting month already. I am tired.
As per usual.
Yeah, per usual. I should probably get that checked out.
You should.
But no, it's like we just consistently have a busy calendar. Like we always have something going on. My mom is convinced that we need a reality TV show.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Yeah, she keeps saying that like we always are doing something and we should have a camera crew following us. And I'm like, we're not that fascinating.
No. Good luck and keep up.
But whatever. I don't know. Maybe you guys think we're that fascinating. I would like to hear your thoughts. Do you think that we would make for good TV? If so, make sure you tune into our IGTV episodes of Relationship.
Nice shameless plug.
Because then you can watch us there. Because we're already on TV, bitches. And you guys should be watching us there. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, it's just crazy. It's just been a really, really crazy month. And I feel like we say that every year. We're not doing anything for the holidays this year. So that's going to be even more fascinating. We're not going anywhere for Christmas or Thanksgiving.
No, we're going to be laying low this year because we have to be better with our financial planning.
Yeah, blah.
I know you don't like it.
Yeah, blah. No, I don't care about not traveling. Like that kind of stuff doesn't bother me. Like I'm okay with that. But we're trying to be good.
We've been trying to be good for the past several years, but just like this year, everybody keeps getting married.
Everybody keeps getting married or getting pregnant. Like, can you guys just keep it in your pants and like, you know, wait like another 5 years? You waited this long to get married. Why you gotta do it right now? Jesus. Anyways. Oh my gosh, Tony is yawning. I'm sorry, I'm not fascinating enough for you to, you know, not yawn.
It's not that. It's too hot in here.
And that makes you yawn?
Yes. Mm. Yawning is not done out of boredom. It is your brain's way of trying to oxygenate itself and cool itself. It's like sweating for your brain.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways, what say you? We hop into our hashtag gay relationship goals for the week.
Yawn.
Very well played. He cracked himself up on that.
I almost fell out of my chair.
Oh my gosh. Anyways,
follow that one up.
As a reminder, every week Tony and I will pick a wonderful queer couple and highlight them as our hashtag gay relationship goals. Our hope is to bring these relationships to the forefront and give a sense of positivity and perspective to the gay relationship narrative. If you and your partner are interested in becoming our hashtag gay relationship goals, or if there is a queer couple or relationship that you admire and would like to bring to our attention, please reach out to us. Tag us on some of your adorable couples' photos on Instagram, The Fache Book, or Twitter. Our handle is at Pod Relationship. Tony and I will take a look at these photos and posts and could potentially highlight you and your partner on an episode of the podcast. This week, I'm kind of excited about this couple. I'm not going to lie. I'm just like really into them. Mm. I think they're really adorable. And that is the relationship of Tony Keith Jr. So you can follow him on Instagram. He is at Tony Keith Jr. and his hers been at RSVP underscore Harry. And I am a really, I'm just such a fan. I think that they're so adorable. First of all, I love a good height difference in a relationship. I'm a huge fan. I'm also a huge fan of chocolate love. Mm. So that makes me very happy within itself. But Tony is a poet, educator, and a self-proclaimed nerd, mm-hmm. Which I love. And then he's a PhD candidate for hip-hop educational leadership, which I think is just so fascinating. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, what is that? I don't even know.
It's brilliant, whatever it is.
Yeah. And then from what I've gathered regarding Harry, I think he's in fashion in some capacity. Harry is the shorter of the two, and he sounds like his profile says fashion is ignoring short men, so I'm paving my own way. So from what it sounds like, he's like really into clothing and found a need to create something for guys that are not as tall as everyone else. Mm-hmm. And I think that is super fascinating, and I'm really into it. First of all, I like anything clothing related, and this guy, he definitely knows how to dress.
He does.
He definitely has himself together, and I'm a huge fan. I like them a lot.
Yeah, I think they're both great. I love, so I was reading some of the captions, and apparently it was a very whirlwind romance. Oh. And so he proposed after 1 month. Which I think is wonderful. Like, when you know, you know. And I think it's just great. They're both beautiful and talented, and they appear to be just so in love. And I imagine they're very supportive of each other and very creative. And they look like they just have a really good time together, even when they're being petty.
Yeah. I mean, if you can't have a relationship off of being petty, then is it worth the relationship? Let's be honest. No, I love them. There is a post that was made on August 18th, so it's pretty recent, but it says, "Together is my favorite place to be, and I'm still wearing that same smile you gave me on our wedding day. Happy 1 year anniversary to us." Mm. And I just loved that. First of all, their wedding photos are gorgeous. Like, mm-hmm. every single one of them that they've posted are just insanely amazing. But I just love the idea that, like, your partner is the reason why you're smiling the way that you do. Mm-hmm. And that is so special to me. And it just looks like they genuinely make each other happy, that they're in such love with one another. That was on Harry's profile. And I just thought that, I don't know, like I said, I'm just like super fascinated and really, really into that. And they travel, they've got all kinds of trips and things that they've been taking with each other, and they're just so cute.
Yeah, they really are.
I love it. There's another one that is on Tony's profile that says, "On this day 4 years ago, I woke up hungover as hell from a night of birthday shenanigans sleeping next to my now husband. As the story goes, he never left, and I never wanted him to. One, cheers to this day, babe, and two, in exactly 31 days, we'll be married a year." And I just love that. Mm-hmm. I'm just a huge fan of them. They're doing it for me. I just really like it. So mm-hmm. I think you guys will like them too. So make sure you check them out on Instagram. Again, Tony's profile is at Tony Keith Jr. And then you can follow his husband, who is Harry. He is at RSVP underscore Harry, H-A-R-R-Y. And that's on Instagram as well. Love them. Look at their pics. Double tap it. You know, tell them the Critelli sent you. I'm sure that you guys are going to fall in love just the way that we did as well. We are going to take a very, very, very short break, but we'll be back in just a little bit so we can try to solve the world's problems, Critelli style.
Hello, everyone. It's your favorite hosts, Marco
and Tony, with a quick shameless plug.
Yep, make sure you're following us on Instagram.
We are at the Critellis.
That is C-R-I-T-E-L-L-I-S.
And if you can't get enough of us, or you want some extra Critelli content,
just check us out on Instagram. We are at the Critellis.
We'll see you there.
Now, let's get back to the show.
sorry. I'm not sorry. Or there's that other song by Demi Lovato, the Sorry Not Sorry song. But I was singing another one.
I was thinking of the REM song, I'm Sorry.
Oh, I don't know that one.
You should listen to it.
Maybe.
I won't be singing it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Everyone should thank me.
I appreciate that. I 100% appreciate that. So today we're talking about apologizing. And that is a very, very challenging thing in a relationship.
It is.
Allegedly. Do you think you're good at apologizing?
I think I am learning to practice better.
So that's a no?
That's a no.
I would agree. I would agree that you are not a good apologizer.
I'm not.
You're not a good apologizer at all. I think a lot of it has to do with you being wrapped up in your feelings about things. And so you react based off of your feelings. And so you don't find room to apologize because you're like, no, I did it because of how I felt. Like, I did what I did based off of how I felt.
I definitely think there's a justification for me. I also think, as the article suggests, and I don't want to, you know, spoil anything, but there is also the depletion that occurs, or the perceived depletion that occurs from an apology, and that's definitely a factor for me as well.
What do you mean?
We'll get into it when we get into the actual article, but it talks about what the transgressor could perceive as something that they lose by apologizing.
Yeah.
And I think that's also true for me. I won't say more true. I think it's also true.
Yeah.
Do you think you're a good apologizer?
I think that if I legitimately did something wrong, I have no problem apologizing for it. If there's something.
That is such an infuriating response.
So diplomatic.
It's not diplomatic. It's delusional.
No, I don't think it's delusional. I'll apologize.
Perfectly. You will apologize if you think you did something wrong, not if someone else thinks you did something wrong.
If something is 100% wrong, if I fucked up, like, I'm going to apologize. Like, I have no problem apologizing. I literally spend my work days apologizing all the time. And I think in our relationship, if something happened and I know that I screwed it up, I have no problem apologizing. Like, I can apologize when necessary. I will say that, and as this article pointed out, if I take out some of the ego, I have come to the realization that I'm a butt apologizer.
Yes, you are. And I've told you that.
Which is crazy. So, like, I'll apologize. Like, I will say sorry about things. But then I do follow it up with saying, you know, but you have to know and understand what you did to make me do that.
Right.
And kind of thing, like, and that is probably not.
Well, it's like I always tell you, like, you'll get your turn. Just give me mine.
Yeah, well, like, you also need, like, a week for your turn, but...
I don't need a week. Yes. there's that delusion again.
That's literally, you're like, no, this is not the topic. We're not going to get into that.
Aren't we?
Because sometimes, again, and what you and I always talk about, too, is that there's a difference between feelings and fact. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's just how I run. And so I can't, like, I will apologize for hurting your feelings because it was never my intention to hurt your feelings. But you can't not recognize the facts of the situation, because sometimes, and again, this may just be, you know, me, sometimes I feel like you run so off of emotions and feelings that you lose all logic. So you're not paying attention to the reality of a situation. You're only paying attention to how it made you feel. And I'm just like, okay, like, I get it. Like, I'm sorry. I made you feel this certain way, and that was never my intention. Now that we recognize that, I need you to understand how X, Y, and Z happened. And this is why that was my response to it from a logical standpoint. Yes, I definitely did not pay attention to how you were emotionally going to react to it. And for that, I apologize, because I probably should have. But I need you to know that I wasn't doing it in an effort to, like, ignore you. It was more because I was doing it based off of this kind of situation.
So when we are listening to this again in the future, when it actually airs, I want you to listen to your last three sentences, because all three of them had buts in them.
Yeah.
All three.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard me like 4 seconds ago.
No, but I know. You said, I'm just saying, no, you're doing it now.
But I was giving you an example of what I said. Is what that happened. So yes, you're right. There were buts in it because that was what I was talking about.
So the thing that I would say from this is that the purpose of an apology is to heal a hurt. And when you throw the butt in, you kind of undo all the healing of the hurt, and you kind of also move past the healing to get to like other stuff. And I would just say that that undoes all the work of an apology.
No, I don't disagree. I'm not disagreeing with that statement or those sentiments at all. All I'm saying is that there are, again, as we've discussed in previous episodes, you are definitely the more emotional part of our relationship. Mm-hmm. And I am literally constantly walking on eggshells around your emotions, because anything can trigger an emotional response. I could literally spend an entire day apologizing for various things all the time because of how you react to things on a consistent basis. That is just literally how I move about our life together. So sometimes I'm going to acknowledge how emotionally, because again, as we've come to realize, I am very blunt. I can be very harsh, and even sometimes very critical regarding things. So sometimes there are reactions that will come from me that will create unwarranted or unnecessary harshness or critiques or meanness and things like that. And for those, I will apologize, because I should not go to that place, especially with you. I should not go, like, I hurt your feelings for no apparent reason. Like, that makes sense to apologize for, in my opinion. Sometimes there are things that it's like, I wasn't even thinking about that. A plus B equal happened, and I just, you know, happened to see the situation, and that was just from the logical standpoint. It just so happens that your emotions were an innocent bystander in the entire situation, and while I will apologize for that happening, because you shouldn't be an emotional, you shouldn't be an innocent bystander in the situation, my intention was not to hurt your feelings in that situation. I was just reacting from this space. Whereas the first scenario that I was talking about, like when I said mean things to you, like I meant to hurt your feelings. Like those were like the goals. That was like my intention behind saying the things that I said. I was abrasive or I was rude, and I had every goal of like shutting shit down or being mean or like making sure that you felt it. And for that, I can apologize, because hurting your feelings should never be my goal. Like, I should never do that. But like, you know, I was vacuuming up the rug and wasn't paying attention, and your favorite pair of earrings got sucked up into the vacuum, and I just wasn't paying any attention to that. Like, yes, I can apologize for sucking up the earrings, because that wasn't my goal. But like, at the same time, like, I was cleaning the apartment. Like, I was just cleaning the apartment. Like, that's all that was happening.
So that's what this article gets into. So we read this article from mindful.org about why it's so hard to apologize. And one of the things they talk about is exactly what you're saying, is that those simple things that don't smash into our ego, like accidentally vacuuming up earrings or accidentally bumping into someone, you know, it's really easy for us to say sorry and quickly. But why don't we say sorry the other times, or why is it so hard to say sorry the other times? And they get into this in a few ways, and they actually talk about how there's an associate professor at the University of Pittsburgh named Karina Schumann. And she studied apologies and noticed that psychologists had barely investigated why they're hard to make. They really focused on like what the positive outcome of an apology is. They didn't really look at from the transgressor's perspective. And so she started doing studying on that. She came up with a few things of why she thinks it might happen. The first one is called the magnitude gap, which is like when you think it's a really big issue and the transgressor thinks it's a very small issue. It's just it's a slip up, right? It's not a systemic indicative thing. There's also this idea that you just don't care, which is kind of an indication of a deeper issue.
Sure.
There's narcissism, the general lack of empathy, and an inability to recognize your own personal mistakes. Then there is the big one, which is that apologizing is really damaging to one's self-image as a decent, caring, sensitive, moral person. And so this is the one I was alluding to earlier for me, which is that the transgression reflects on the quality of your character or your morality. And so it becomes difficult to it becomes difficult to do anything about.
Which is so fascinating to me regarding you, because as somebody who is so empathetic and feels and is so emotional and is so full of feelings all the time, I can only think of a few times in which you have actually apologized to me for things that I've actually like brought to your attention, where I said like, I needed your help with this and you like completely ignored me and like you won't apologize for it. Like, you just absolutely don't apologize at all regarding it. And it's so bizarre to me, because I feel like as somebody who does feel so much and you know, cares so much, that it would come natural for you to, like, apologize. And you just don't. Like, you will. Like, it's very rare that I get an apology from you. And again, for some of the same things that you'll blame me for, like, yes, I may be a butt apologizer, but I definitely will apologize. Like, I will acknowledge the fact that you were hurt in a situation. I will try to defend myself in a sense that's like, but you have to understand that, like, my intention wasn't to, like, hurt your feelings. I'm sorry that your feelings got hurt in the process, but I was doing this and it just so happens. Like, I will apologize, but, like, you won't apologize at all, which is really interesting.
It is interesting.
It's very interesting.
So the article goes on talking about how self-image and self-worth might be playing into that, and how people who failed to apologize saw a rise in self-esteem and an increased sense of control, which, again, kind of can explain why, you know, this is happening. So it's your whole value integrity, the confidence in your own goodness and the soundness of your core beliefs.
Sure.
So then they get into, like, how do you move forward? So one of the activities that she suggested in a study that she did, a paper that she published in 2018, talks about how if you do an exercise where you focus on your core values first, so what is your core value and why? Why is it important to you? Just that task of affirming your own commitment to, you know, a value can make you more likely to apologize, because you've affirmed that thing, right? So that whole self-worth piece, this perception that that you might lose something when you apologize, that putting it out there and acknowledging it and recognizing that you did something bad, it challenges the quality of your character less by doing that activity first. So I thought that was interesting. Then she goes into, which, I mean, I don't know that I can, like, stop and do that exercise when you tell me I've done something, but I do think that I can bring that exercise to my daily or at least weekly regimen a little more often. It's something that actually, when I was in therapy, I did, you know, this whole value thing, and like I found that to be super helpful to like categorize the values and like go through and like talk about them. And doing that definitely did like put things into perspective. And it's probably, I'm sure I kept it, so it's probably something I should like go back and reread and maybe even redo again. To see like if it needs updating, you know, and then revisit. Then the article finishes with how to make a good apology.
Which I loved.
Yeah, I think this is great because here again is the practical thing of like teaching. So one is accepting the responsibility for the wrong and doesn't even hint that outside forces or the victim caused the offender to do what they did. And it goes into what to say and what not to say. So what to say: I'm sorry I didn't show up to help you move when I said I would. What not to say: you were asking too much of me and I just couldn't do it, so I flaked. Right? It's unqualified. Here again, if it contains a but, it's a fail. There's time later for that. It says what to say: I broke your trust and was inconsiderate of your feelings. What not to say: I'm sorry I made you feel abandoned, but I didn't realize how big a job it was and I had other things I needed to do that day.
Mm-hmm.
The third aspect is it offers to make amends, such as offering help to someone you previously blew off or making a sincere effort to avoid the transgression in the future. What to say: I know I bailed on the move, but can I help you unpack or clean up? If not, next time you ask me for help, I won't leave you hanging. I'll do everything I can to be available, and if I can't make it, I will tell you well in advance. What not to say: can we both try to be better about communicating next time?
I hate that. That makes me so... That literally drives me crazy because I'm like, I'm pretty sure I was the one that got, like...
Right.
Yeah, like got hurt in this process.
Also, you communicated that you were going to help me.
Yeah,
so
can we both do a better job of communicating? Nah, bitch. You need to do a better job. No, I thought that was very interesting. And again, I see my... I know I'm a butt apologizer. Mm-hmm. Again, especially if I find that... Again, if I know that I like super hurt you and like I know that my intentions were to hurt you and I just should not have done that, then I will apologize. There's no two ways about it. Mm-hmm. But if I was like, if hurting you was like the last thing that I was thinking about and it just so happened, like I personally find it, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I just personally find it necessary to explain myself and make it understandable. Like, and I think that a lot of that has to do with like trying to get the person to understand that, like, oh no, like I wasn't purposefully trying to be an asshole. Like, my goal was not to like be a jerk. Like, I wasn't trying to do that. It just so happens that, you know, I ended up doing something that made you see me as a jerk, and I just want you to know that, like, I apologize for that being the case. That wasn't my intention, but I'll do better next time. And that's necessary. So
well, and something I would suggest: people forget that when you're in a relationship, like, you're in it long term, so you don't have to say everything right now. And so, like, why not write out your apology, including the but, and hang on to that and remove the but when you actually speak? And then later, because you've written it down and you know it's not going anywhere, you can go back and look at the but.
That's a very interesting way of doing it. And I don't think that it's not good. It's very interesting. And I don't know if it's right or wrong either. I just don't come from a family that like puts things on the back burner. Mm-hmm. Like, we like approach everything and clear everything out right here, right now. So the idea of like revisiting things, because there have been moments where like you've upset me or done something to like hurt me, and I'm like, it's not the time to talk about it. I'll wait till later. And then later comes around, whether that's like a week from now or days from now and stuff like that, and it's just not valid anymore because I either got over it or it doesn't bother me anymore, or I look like an idiot trying to bring up something that happened a week ago. Like it just, and it piles on to one another and stuff like that. So I just don't like to, I just don't like to not completely take care of something from beginning to end in the one moment that we have to do so.
I think it's interesting that you said not valid and just now the one moment. I find that very interesting, that word, because to me, you would never look like an idiot for bringing something up later, because it would just tell me that, one, you took the time to think about it, and two, it was still important to you. That's what that would communicate to me, not stupidity, but actually the opposite, intellect.
It would give me the opportunity to stew on something. It would, I would be stewing on it if I did that. And again, I'm only speaking for myself, but I would be stewing on it. Like, and that would be like even worse, because by the time I did finally talk to you. I'm so annoyed, you know, behind the entire situation that, like, I have zero desire to even interact with you at that point. Because not only did you annoy me or hurt me in that moment and, like, completely, like, went on and didn't even pay attention to it, but now I'm not even, like, we're not even addressing it right here, right now. And again, if I know that an apology doesn't necessarily come from it, at, you know, per normal, then why in the world would I wait for not getting an apology?
It's an interesting take on it. So I think what that moves us into the next article, which is from symmetrycounseling.com. And I would say that what's interesting for me about this is the last piece of the previous article sort of dovetails into this one quite well, because this one, the bulk of it actually talks about Gary Chapman's research, which you may know Gary Chapman from the Five Love Languages, but he also identified the five apology languages, which is what we're going to talk about now. The reason I think it just sort of goes so well with the previous one is if you look at what that one was talking about at the very end about what makes a good apology, there's elements of the apology languages in there.
Sure.
So the first apology language is expressing regret. People who desire this apology seek for a partner to specifically acknowledge that he or she is sorry. It is enough in this instance to simply say, "I am sorry," and thereby acknowledge that a wrong was perceived in the relationship. The second one is accepting responsibility. This apology language acknowledges that you are aware of what you did wrong. I am sorry it was wrong of me not to call you when I knew our meeting was going to run late. Your partner wants to hear that you understand your role in contributing to his or her hurt feelings, and only saying "I am sorry" can leave your partner asking, "What exactly are you sorry for? Or are you only sorry that you are now having to deal with more conflict?" Number three is making restitution. A partner with this language desires to know, I'm sorry, this is very gendered language, so I'm just going to take them out. So a partner with this language desires to know that they are still loved despite what you did. Your apology should explain why you are sorry and how important the relationship is to you. Number four, genuinely expressing the desire to change your behavior. The importance of this, the important piece of this apology is reassurance that it will not happen again. Your apology should dictate how you intend to keep this transgression from being repeated in the future. Without this, any apology will feel insincere. Number five, requesting forgiveness. With this apology language, your partner wants to hear you say, "I'm sorry," and "Will you please forgive me?" Your partner will feel that you are sincere when you acknowledge your need for forgiveness and relay how important it is to you that your partner forgives you. My question
Which one is yours?
That was my question to you. Yeah. My question to you is twofold. Which one do you think is yours and which one do you think is mine?
Well, I think I'm number four.
Genuinely expressing the desire to change your behavior.
Yeah. Yeah, because...
I think you are too.
I that's what I need. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I need from you. Yeah. I just need to know that something will change.
Which I think is probably why you perceive me to have not apologized, because this is what an apology looks like to you.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe. That's a very interesting perspective. Yeah. Because I can think about apologies that come from you, and it's only in when you're trying to make up with me, like, afterwards, that you will say, sorry. But, like, that will come, like, a day or two after the blow up. And, like, all I need to do is, like, be heard for a second and have you, like, apologize, like, and say, "Oh, my God, I'm sorry. I didn't even realize, like, I brought you to this place. Like, I didn't know that that happened. Like, I am so sorry." And you don't do that. And I think that I find that you apologize for me, not because I think that you think that you actually did something wrong, that you apologize so that you can, like we can build a bridge over this situation and be done with it, not to actually fix anything.
And which one do you think is me?
I think you're number three.
making restitution.
Mm-hmm.
Explain why you are sorry and how important the relationship is to you. Why do you think that?
Because you are like Mr. Like your love language is like constant. Like you need to constantly be reassured, like consistently. So you need hand holding and you need hugging and you need consistent kissing and you need touching and things like that. So you need the safety of the relationship. Like you need to know that that exists. So I would think that restitution is something that you need because you need to know that like everything is okay and every like and we're still together.
I definitely think you're number four, genuinely expressing the desire to change your behavior. I think I'm number two, which is accepting responsibility. I think this is where the but comes in. I need to know that you're aware of what you did wrong. I don't need to know that you're aware of the circumstances or what I did wrong. I need to know that you're aware of what you did wrong. And the but piece bypasses that for me. And so I think that's why I'm an accepting responsibility. I don't need regret. Like, I don't need that. Because stuff happens. Life is hurt sometimes. Like, so I get that. Making restitution, you don't have to make restitution. Like, you don't have to repay me. Genuinely expressing a desire to change. Like, I don't need you to tell me how you're going to change. Because trust me, I'm watching. So I don't need you to say anything. True. I'm going to watch what you're doing. And then requesting forgiveness. I don't need you. Like, maybe in specific circumstances where I'm, like, super hurt, the can you forgive me would be important. But for me, I think the responsibility is the key piece in what makes a good apology for me. Is just, do you know what you did? And for me, like, you saying that, like, I know this is how you felt. Like, yeah, that's what you did. What you did was these feelings. Like, that's what you did. Like, you can't have that direct control over someone. But when you're in that intimate of a relationship, you can have a pretty darn strong influence.
Yeah.
That's what you did. And then stop there, because that's the hurt. That's the wrong. That's the harm that was done. And just leave it at that. Yep, I recognize that I did that. Not I'm crazy, not I'm in my feelings, not this is why I shouldn't feel that way. Like, none of that. I'll get to that. But if you want to apologize, like, that's the kind
but
of
But will
apology.
You, though?
Yeah, I will.
But
it would take coming back to it.
Yeah, see, and you coming back to it is fine. Like, that's very interesting. But I don't even know that, like, I don't know. I think you like being right. And so you would never say, you know what? I was thinking about all of this later and blah, 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 blah. I don't know that you would do that. Like, once you got the apology and knew that somebody heard what you wanted them to hear and felt what you needed them to feel, I don't think that you would revisit it. You would feel justified in feeling the way that you would feel and would move on from that. And I think that's where it's really interesting. And again, I have no problem accepting responsibility for things. Again, when I know that I genuinely did something shitty, I will 100% own up to it. Like, yeah, what I did was fucked up. I should not have done that to you. For that, I apologize. Like, that, I have no problem doing it. But sometimes, again, your emotions are like mini landmines. Your feelings are like I don't know what I'm going to step in that is going to trigger you. And sometimes it's just me existing or like doing this or being here or having this or seeing that or talking about this that like will set you off. And sometimes it's like, oh my God, I was literally just going from point A to point B. Like I was not even thinking about that regarding you. So like, I'm sorry your feelings were hurt because I never meant to hurt your feelings, but you have to know and understand that like, I was not like, my intention was not to do that. I'm not that person that was like, I'm going to find a way to piss him off. Like, that's just not what I'm going to do. Like, and sometimes I find it necessary to do that, to like explain myself to you, because I really do think that your emotions run so high and where you're at with things is so intense that you may in your mind believe that like my intention was to actually hurt your feelings in that situation. And sometimes I find it necessary to be like, no. Like, that wasn't my intention. Like, I didn't do that. I wasn't even thinking about that. Like, this is so, like, left field for me that I didn't even know it was a thing. And so I will pay more attention to being a butt apologizer. I will definitely pay way more attention, just because because again, my intention is never to make you feel as though I am purposefully trying to hurt your feelings and not feel remorse behind it in any kind of way, shape, and or form. That's never my intention. So I will definitely take a look at that. I just also need you to know and understand that, like, sometimes it's like some of the way that you feel about things is, like, so left field for me that I didn't even acknowledge it as a moment of hurt. And so sometimes I just want to make sure it's clear to you that I wasn't trying to, like, be that person. Because trust me, when I want to be that person, you'll know it.
I know you know how to do that.
I'm real good at it. But this was a very good topic.
It's interesting. I liked it.
I enjoyed it a lot. So, well, let's take a short break. What do you say about that?
But.
With one or two T's.
Yes.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Hello, listeners. As you may have heard, Tony and I have a weekly after show on IGTV called Relationship.
Get it? Relationship? Relationship? What?
Nothing. Keep going.
Okay. Every week, Marco and I will talk about the podcast topic, the things we learned, and the way to use it in our relationship day to day.
Yep. Our goal is to put a face to the topics and our message, as well as give you some extra relationship content and guidance.
So make sure you're following us on Instagram. We are at PodRelationship.
And tune in every Wednesday.
After you've listened to the episode.
Yes, on IGTV for our weekly after show, Relationship.
Comment, like it, tell your friends.
All support is greatly appreciated.
We look forward to having you see us there.
Bye. Ridiculous. All right. Anyways. All right. We're back. And it is time for this year's, I think it's our first edition of We Ain't Shit this year.
No, it's September.
Oh, come on.
It's so weird, isn't it? It's insane. So, of course, we have friends of the podcast, one Mr. Steve Lowe.
Hello.
Oh, my God.
With his sexual chocolate voice. I live for it. And then we've got one Ms. Erica Doom.
Hi.
It's Doomsday.
Oh, don't put that out there. Like.
I love that.
I absolutely.
That's my favorite.
We're over here reflecting because last week, my bestie, shout out to Dwayne McFarlane, surprised me. I don't know if I'm gonna post that video on social media.
I think you need to. Well, it's been posted, so you might as well just
everyone
get that.
Go see it. It's
well, if you guys follow Dwayne, you could definitely see it. But he scared the shit out of me when I opened up the door and went into the bathroom, and he was hiding in the bathroom like some fairy. It was great. It was a good time. So, but thank you guys so much for coming back for this week's
Thanks
episode.
Thanks for having us.
It's fun. So we talked about a very interesting topic on the first segment, and it was apologizing. And when I told you guys that we were going to talk about that as a group, Erica and Steve, y'all had some very interesting facials about it. Let's talk about apologizing. Is apologizing something that's very challenging for you guys to do in general?
No, I think I've grown to be fairly good at kind of like recognizing when I'm at fault. It's kind of, I feel like that's part of the issue with people who like can't apologize easily. It's sort of like understanding, just accept the fact that you messed up. That's just really what it is. So yeah, for me, I feel like it's all right. Like I will apologize if I know I like fucked some shit up. So
what about you, Erica?
I think it's something that I struggled with in the past. I had a really hard time.
Why do you think you had a hard time though?
In the past? Because I think when I was younger and more naive and just not as mature, I had a hard time knowing when I was wrong. with certain things. And when you don't think that you're wrong, you feel like you don't have to apologize for nothing.
Right. That's a very valid point.
But as I've, you know, grown and become more grown, like, it's something that I don't really struggle with as much.
And then, so that's just in general. What about in relationships? Apologizing for fucking shit up in a relationship. Ooh, silence.
I wish y'all could see the faces they're making right now.
That's either confusion because the last relationship has been a really long time ago, or confusion because the apologies have been
exact-
or both. Yes, yes. What is it?
I honestly, in terms of a relationship, I don't know the last time that I like really apologized like for something. I feel like most of what I dealt with is kind of like little apologies, or like, oh, sorry if I'm like texting you too early, or oh, sorry if I'm like, you know, that kind of thing. It's just kind of more like courtesy apologies versus like any sort of grand thing that happened, you know?
Can I say the face you both made, it looked like you didn't think you made mistakes that were worth apologizing
for. I mean, isn't that the true nature of a relationship?
I'm gonna say that again.
Isn't that the true nature of a relationship, though, right? Like, we never really think of... And I think that... And kind of what Tony and I talked about in the first segment, anyways, is that what ends up happening in a relationship is you have two different perspectives, right, mm-hmm. on things. And then you have one person's view of the situation, because we came to the realization that I'm like a... I'm sorry, but apologizer. Okay. Like, kind of thing
where... Oh, the worst kind of apologizer.
Thank you.
Because it is pretty bad. And I was telling... As I was saying... The reason why I say I'm sorry, but is because 9 times out of 10, I try to get Tony to come to the realization that, like, I am sorry that you ended up feeling that way. That was never my intention. And I'm trying really, really hard to help make him understand that I'm not this awful person that mm-hmm. purposefully tried to make him feel this way or do right. those things. So I'm trying to, I don't know, make myself feel as though, like, I'm trying to make sure that he knows and understands that, like, I'm not this malicious person that's just out right. here trying to, like, make him feel bad on a consistent basis. Like,
right.
you have to know and understand that, like, when X, Y, and Z happened, it was only because I was doing da-da-da-da-da-da, mm-hmm. and that's the only reason. So I'm sorry you know, that ended up hurting your feelings, but please know, like, that was not my intention. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of apologizer I am. Tony is... not an incredible apologizer often. I don't find that Tony apologizes very often.
How you
You're
feel
looking
about
at
that?
Me weird.
This is my face.
I don't, this is my current face.
I don't, this is my face.
Look at it.
Tony is so oblivious to things that mm-hmm. he has zero knowledge of how his actions affect other people. And so he... is not good at apologizing, because I'll say, like, you did X, Y, and Z, and he'd be like, oh, I did.
Right.
And I'm like, so this is the part where you apologize. And he's not really quick at apologizing. And if he does apologize, it's like 3 days later when he's like actually sat and thought about
it. And processed it.
And processed it, that I end up getting an apology, if I get an apology from him on those situations. Usually it's just I pointed it out to him and then the topic is dropped and we move on to other things. So we've come to find that out. Where do you guys feel like you fit in like the realm of like apologies?
I feel like I'm kind of similar in that, like, if I'm apologizing about something, it's for me to kind of let it be known that, like, whatever happened, it wasn't my intention. Like, it was sort of like, you know, if I do something and the other person feels bad, it's like they need to know that, like, it's not in my nature to try to do, you know, try to make them feel that way, if right. that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But... I mean, but at the same time, sometimes, especially in recent days, I feel like, this is going to sound weird, but like, what is the point of an apology?
To make the other person feel better.
Or or worse?
I think it's...
Oh, that's a very valid point. No. I just, so you know, I'm kind of on your side with the whole thing. Because, like, I understand the point of an apology. Like, I get the point of an apology. But at the same time, I find that when you apologize, it only ends up bringing up arguments, right? Because then you're trying to get the person to understand why you felt the way that you felt. And then the other person's like, yeah, I get that you feel that way. But, like, I don't feel that way about things normally, so it's not normal for me to like think that you would feel that way under those circumstances and stuff. And so you end up doing this big circle, like the circle of conversation, because one person's not understanding, the other person thinks the other person's being dramatic behind the situation, and all of these things are just going on and on and on and on. So the apology, kind of to your point, ends up not really making the person feel any better about the situation, because it's like now you're arguing.
I feel like so an apology, like the I'm sorry, that wasn't my intent, I think, yeah, it's nice to let people know that the intention behind what you did wasn't malicious, but at the end of the day, it's not the intent that hurt them. So it's like, I could have done something to Steve, or done something, not to Steve, but I could have just done something in general that he felt a way about. And obviously my intent wasn't to hurt Steve, but he felt a way. So an apology in that moment is not about what my intention was, so much as about how the action that I did affected you, and making you feel more comfortable in that moment about what was going on. I think for me, when I apologize now, it's more so of an accountability thing. Right. Like, I understand that what I did, that my actions hurt you. And even though that was not my intention, that would never be my intention, what to hurt you, I can understand that what I did, and for that, I'm sorry. Like, that's the kind of a, like, apology that I've learned to adhere to. Because it kind of, you know, because it's like, at the end of the day, like, I could do something, and it's, and it plays into both things, because I can do something and I'm doing it, you know, because that's just, like, my nature, even though you feel the way I can't affect, I can't control how you feel about something or how you're gonna feel about something, and I'm not gonna live my life tiptoeing around because I don't want somebody to feel a certain way. So in that sense, like, I don't, you know, I'm not saying like, I'm so sorry, like, you know, begging, but at the same time, it's like, I was living this way and you were affected by it, and so for that I can hold myself accountable and then apologize to you and then figure out what we can do to be more comfortable. But
there's another problem, I think, with the intent argument is when it's a pattern. Like,
right.
That's great that every time you didn't intend to do it this way, but guess what? I've interpreted it that way every time.
Well, but what happens...
And there's an accountability piece, I think, to that, too. Like, it's not... Like you said, it's not like I'm me, and I'm certainly nobody's asking each other not to be who they are, but, like, there does come a time where, like, empathy plays a role, or, like... Just having, like, enough respect for the other person to, like, understand that that's just, like, their nature. And so, like, you know, just being cognizant of that or caring about that.
But can't the argument go the other way around and knowing and understanding that that's just the way the person is, too? And it might not necessarily be a representation of them trying to hurt your feelings, but that's just the nature of who they are. And
well, I think that's what makes it a relationship, is so, both people doing that.
Well, right. Sure. And then, for example, like, and we talked about this, right? Like, if I hurt your feelings, you know it's not in my nature to naturally hurt your feelings, that I may just talk like that, or I may just be that kind of person that is brash or, you know, forward or do anything of that. If your feelings get hurt, it's not in an effort to hurt your feelings. It's getting a point across. And that just may be who I am. That just may be how I talk. And those may be things. You decided to marry me knowing those things. So if your feelings get hurt during that time period, like, you know, thereafter, and it's about things like, why am I then at fault for not communicating things in a pillowy way that makes your feelings not get hurt, rather than you just knowing that is just the way he's talking about it, and there has to be something more behind it. So I'm not going to invest my feelings in that scenario of the situation, and I'm just going to take what is going on at face value.
I think that's where, to both of your points, that's where the relationship comes in. Mm-hmm. And then that's also where, like, the pattern thing comes in. Because if I do something, or if somebody does something to me, rather, or does something in general that hurts me, and then we have a conversation, I'm like, listen, this hurt me when you did this. And they were like, you know, whatever, the apology, the hell is with the accountable. Now they understand that, like, this action, a action, causes her to feel like this. And so it might not be that the intention is to hurt me. And it might just be that that's who they are. But I think that it comes with experience. And so it's like, okay, well, I know that I talk a certain way. And every time that I talk this way, like, this person gets upset. On the other side of that, it's going to be like, I'm going to work, like you were saying, like, I'm going to work to not take it so offensively or take it so personally when so-and-so comes across this way, because I know that that's who they are as an individual. But me caring so much about the other person, if I'm the person that's speaking assertively or aggressively or whatever way that's not making the other person comfortable, I'm also going to be cognizant of that fact. And then when I'm speaking to that person, I'm going to try to have the self-awareness to know that, okay, this is how I am. I get like this when I'm feeling this way. In this moment, I'm about to interact with this person. Let me do a checkup on how I'm feeling and how I may come across, and then try to effectively communicate. Because then I think that kind of alleviates some of the consistency of having that pattern where one person is acting in a way that's hurting the other person.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think it's very important. I 100%. And I think mm-hmm. that's part of being in a relationship, right? Mm-hmm. Is being able to be in tune with each other and knowing exactly how to, like, alter accordingly. I think that I grew up in a family that is very feelings last, even mm-hmm. though, which is uh-huh. really funny because all of my family members are actually very much so feelings first. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone mm-hmm. feels things intensely, like, all the time. But no one really takes anything offensively in my family. Mm-hmm. No one ever takes anything offensively. Like, we say the most fucked up shit to one another on a consistent basis. And it just is. Like, no one ever does it. So I'm not very, I don't know. I'm not very affected by feedback or, like, things being said. So I don't even necessarily always need an apology. For right. me, an mm-hmm. apology is just a recognition of the fact that, like, you did something that affects somebody else. Mm-hmm. Like, do you see what I'm saying? That's all it is, especially with being with somebody like Tony, for example, because Tony and I are both very, very independent people, mm-hmm. and Tony is very self-first in a lot of ways. And so I just like for the recognition of, like, hey, like, there's somebody else in the room. Mm-hmm. I just need you to know and understand that, like, I get that this is what you want to do and how you've always done things, but you have to understand how your actions affect other people too. So just pay attention to that. And it's not even that I need an apology. Mm. It's that I just need recognition. Acknowledgement. I just need right. acknowledgement mm-hmm. behind that. Like, I'm paying attention to those things. Go ahead.
So I guess to a certain extent, like, apologies, I feel like apologies kind of live in this space where there's, like, a misstep or a misunderstanding or an overlooking of, like, personality types, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's kind of like, okay, someone is a certain way, and for that temporary moment, you know, it just wasn't what you would have liked for that person to be doing, right? Sure. Mm-hmm. So I think to some extent there's this element of, like, you kind of understanding, like, who the person is and, like, what they're about, but at the same time it's this balance of, like, letting the person be who they are versus letting the person kind of, like, step outside of what they know you to be. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I guess sometimes I look at things as like a matter of perspective. It's like, I am this way and I did this thing. Mm-hmm. And you may or may not know that I am this way. So it's like one of those things where I feel like sometimes it helps to kind of have that sense of just active discussion and just kind of like understanding the person that you're with, and kind of like being able to assess how they might react in certain situations. And yes, we all can kind of like declare ourselves to be a certain way all the time, mm-hmm. but, you know, life has a funny way of making us not be who we think we are sometimes.
It's, and that's a very valid point. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I'm like, look, I'm telling you guys right now, after 10 years of being in a relationship, I'm still learning a lot of new things, because there are times where I think I know Tony's reaction to things or how he's going to feel about things. And he goes completely
left
off the road with a lot of things, where I'm just like, really? That's what you're going to get upset about? Like, I just don't, like, I'm so confused about these things, like, or like where I think I'm tiptoeing around his emotions because I'm like, ooh, don't want to upset him about it. And he's like,
I don't care about
that. Why didn't you just do it? And I'm like, wait, what, really? Here it is over here. I'm like trying to like, I'm like wrapping your feelings in bubble mm-hmm. right now to make sure that everything is like really good. And you're over here like, I don't care. I'm coming out. Like, it's like, fine. It's like, whatever. And it's like super, it's so interesting to me. It's not that I'm not an emotional person. I never thought that I would be partnered with such an emotional person. Mm. Tony is way better at expressing emotions than I am, like way better mm-hmm. at it than I am. And so it's often that I'm the one, it's often that I'm the one that's apologizing because I have hurt his feelings on something, or I didn't do something, I wasn't paying attention to things, or I was mm-hmm. doing things that I 100% understand that. Mm-hmm. And I think more than anything, I'm just trying to get him to acknowledge that, like, I just wasn't paying attention to that. It's just not my default to, like, it's just not my default to, like, be in that frame of mind. Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't naturally go that way. So, like, I'm sorry that I hurt your feelings, but I don't want you to think that I'm this, like, awful human being right. that, like, just is, like, totally not paying attention to those things, because I just don't. Like, I just haven't.
So, to some extent, then, you know, when it comes to relationships and kind of like this idea of compromise, you know, you kind of like, yes, you're a certain way. And it's kind of like, you know, that being a certain way might upset the person you're with. So it's kind of like you have to balance out like being yourself and then like being a way that you aren't normally.
Do you think that there is a such thing here? I mean, we're kind of going a teeny bit off the topic, but do you guys really think that there is a such thing as compromise?
Yes.
I think so. Yeah.
I don't know that I believe that there's a such thing as compromise.
Then what is there?
I think that there is a relenting, like there is like a certain, or like a, like, I think that oftentimes what happens is a person will weigh the pros and cons of having the argument or doing things the way that the person really wants it done. Mm-hmm. And they will then say, you know what? It's not worth it. I'm not so hell-bent on having things this way that I will give it to you in this moment to do that. And that's not a compromise, not by definition.
So you're on the team of like pick your battles.
I'm on the pick your battles type of situation. And I don't know that I personally believe that compromising is natural. I think it. I really don't know that I believe that.
Don't tiptoe. You said what you said.
I don't know that I think that compromising is natural. I do think that it is like a pick your battle situation, and I think that that's oftentimes why when people end up breaking up in a relationship, right? They get out of their relationship, right? Mm-hmm. And then what do they end up doing? Oh, I'm doing all the things that I was never able to do in my relationship. I'm becoming the person that I always wanted to be, that I never could be, because I was in this relationship and I was giving too much to the relationship that I never got to be who I really am. So that whole time you were in a relationship compromising, you were never at air quotes.
Because y'all can't see.
Yeah. You were never.
I think they heard them.
You were never fully being you. You were giving your partner what they needed so that you could prevent arguments.
Well, I feel like the way you're explaining it kind of, it doesn't sound like compromising. It's more so just giving up. I think I define compromise as both parties giving up a portion of what they wanted.
Right. But still also getting a portion of what they
wanted. There's like this like weird middle ground, right? Yeah. Where it's kind of like you didn't totally lose out per se. Like it wasn't something that like you still got something out of it. That to me is what a true compromise is. It's kind of like both parties got a little bit of, it wasn't everything, right, but it was just a little bit.
Tony used to have this saying when we were first dating that used to drive me absolutely insane. But Tony used to have this saying that always said, anything less than what you want is not what you want. And if you live by that saying, then there's no such thing as compromising.
Don't,
right,
tell me that.
There's no such thing as compromising, right? Because yes, there are things that you're, that's going to be like a middle road kind of situation. Mm-hmm. But if you really want to do X, but your partner's only offering A, N is not necessarily what you want. It's just a prevention of argument so that you get, it's not what you actually wanted. And so you're just trying to like appease the situation and not do, like not have an argument. So that's why I kind of, and again, I don't know, maybe I need to flesh this out just a teeny bit more, but that's why I have, that's why I have a really hard time understanding the concept of compromising. Mm-hmm. I think that there are just things that like are not worth the fight. So you can say things like, I want to watch a comedy, I want to watch a horror, and you're like, I don't, I'm not so hellbent on watching a comedy tonight. Sure, I'll watch a horror movie kind of thing like that. Mm-hmm. But that's not a compromise. That's not a compromise. That's one person. In my opinion, a compromise would be watching a rom-com or watching, right, something completely different. But that's still not what you actually wanted.
But, okay, so I like to stay in and you like to go out. And mm-hmm. so there are, and you would like to have a weekly date night and you would like to go out to eat. So the compromise would be that we go out once a week like you want, but we go to places that are not loud, which is what I like. That's a compromise. Because you're still getting what you want. You're still going out.
It's not a compromise for me. That's not a compromise for me. That's me. That is me doing what you wanted and not finding the argument in it. Like, not wanting to argue behind it. I want my husband...
Even though you got what you wanted?
I want my husband to come out and participate with me. I want my husband to get off the couch and come out and have fun and have these experiences with me. I want my husband to participate.
That's, I'm not talking about going out. I'm talking about dinner.
But my thing is, I want to go out. Like, I want to go out and have you out there, too.
The definition, right, of out is fundamentally different between the two of, yeah, you.
Correct.
Because when Marco is saying that he wants to go out, he's talking about like out, party, dance, that
have
situation.
Fun, have experiences.
You're out because that's not your scene or definition of out, is I'm out of the house.
Right, but I'm not, that's talking about, like, I'm not talking about going out. I'm specifically saying I want a date night once a week where we don't order in, we go out and get food. That's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Not going out drinking and dancing, any of that.
Got it.
So mm-hmm. even in that scenario, even though you're getting what you want, which is to go out once a week, it's just that you're going to places that are a little more affordable or that aren't loud. You still think that's not a compromise and you didn't get what you wanted?
No. No, because I, honestly...
That's interesting.
No, honestly... And again, this is just from my... And again, these are things that just build up resentment. Because for me, it's like a, you pick the place to go. Because I know that the places that I want to go, you're going to shut down. I know the food that I want to eat, you're not going to be interested in. I know the scenes that I'm going to want to go to, you're not going to be want to participate in. So I let you go where you want to go so that I don't have to hear the complaint behind it. So that it is. So it's not a compromise. It's like, yeah, we're doing what we want to do. Like, yeah, we're doing it, but it's not really fully being done the way that I want.
But I mean, it also kind of sounds like, I mean, to me, it kind of sounds like there's like an evasion of argument happening here. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's maybe that argument is what needs to be discussed.
Correct.
Why is that an argument?
Right.
It's, well, correct. And that is,
that's
a very,
where I was going to go.
That mm-hmm. is a very good question. And sometimes, and again, after 10 years, and I'm not saying that I have all the answers, but mm-hmm. sometimes after 10 years, you're just like, it's not worth arguing anymore.
Yeah.
It's not worth it anymore, because at the end of the day, that argument is so low on the totem pole of like things that make this relationship. So it's not worth it. But a little chip here and there really does affect things elsewhere. And so that's why I find that, that's why, so I'm, we're kind of getting off topic with things right now, because we're like, we're talking about compromising and stuff like that. But those are things that end up happening, right? Because like those little bits of compromise, quote unquote, mm-hmm. which are not really compromise, yield resentment in the other partner because they never fully got what they wanted. And then next thing you know, you call it compromising, but the person is in the background being like, bitch, I actually never get what, not never. And never is a very extreme where it's very hyperbolic, but it's like, it's not typical for me to get exactly what I wanted. What I wanted out of the situation is for this full experience. I wanted these things. I want to take you to this restaurant. I want you to have these things. But like, if you're over here saying like, oh, the only thing that we can actually afford is ordering Mexican on the couch, like, that's not what I'm getting. But you know what? Sure, we'll compromise. Like, let's have Mexican on the couch and we'll watch a movie, and that's fine because that avoids an argument. But at the same time, that's not necessarily me getting what I want. That's also not a compromise.
So would you say then, like, the when it comes to the functions of a relationship, right? For a relationship to kind of like operate as best it can, would you then say that you have to just be willing to give up certain things to appease the other person? Like, is that one of the functions of a relationship? Is you loving the person or liking the person enough to give up certain aspects of yourself in order to make them happy?
That is a loaded question.
Like, how much do you like or love this person that you're willing to do these things that you don't want to do because you know it would make them happy?
I can't speak on everybody's relationship.
Right. Right. No, obviously.
I can't speak on everybody's relationship, but I will say that there are parts of my relationship that I have found that I am passionate about, but because it goes along with the same concept of me feeling like you'll never be able to actually change a person. You can't change a person. Fundamentally, like, they are who they are. Mm-hmm. And you will have to come to terms with the fact that you fell in love with them as they were, and to think that just because you're with them is going to magically change them is just what we've been fed as a society. Anyways, that's a whole other discussion.
Yeah, I have comments on that. That is a whole other discussion.
There are things, when there are two people that get together in a relationship, there's so much that comes along with them being who they are as a person that are just going to be different than one another. One of the big things that it's not even a big thing. It's like a teeny tiny thing, right? One of the things that is so different is I grew up with my mom cooking dinner. Mm-hmm. And while she was cooking dinner, she was washing and putting pots and pans and dishes and stuff like that away as she was cooking dinner. Mm-hmm. So when dinner was over, the only thing we really had to clean up was what we ate off of. And if there was extra food in pots and pans, mm-hmm. where you would put that in Tupperware, you would put that in the refrigerator, and then you would clean that pot and pan. And that was like it. Dishes usually took like max 15, 20 minutes, mm-hmm. right? Uh-huh. That's not how he cooks. Tony cooks and then piles everything into this. Well, before I made a big fuss about it, everything would be on the counters. Mm-hmm. He would leave everything on the counters. And for the longest time, we used to argue about, can y'all put the dishes away? Like, can you fix this? Because I don't understand. And then it was his. He grew up in a family that's like, if one person cooks, the other person cleans.
Right.
So there was just a fundamental difference in how that job got passed off. So I asked him, I'm like, just do me a favor and just put them in the sink. If you put them in the sink, then I can't see them right away. Like, then I can't see them. Then it's not a huge problem. But 10 years later, he still does not always clean things as he goes. And I've had to just get rid of the fact that I feel a certain way about how that process should go and just let him do what he's doing. He cooks 98% of the time. Mm-hmm. I have no argument because he cooks 98% of the time. There's mm-hmm. no reason for me to like have, I can't have him cook and then have expectations about how he cleans up things. It doesn't mean it doesn't still grind my gears every single time I see a sink full of fucking dishes every time he cleans, mm-hmm. but I can't have an argue about it. Does that go away after 10 years? Nope. Mm. Still feel a way about it. Mm. But I give up that argument because I no longer have a valid argument behind it, and it's not worth the argument every single time.
So in that scenario, the compromise, right? he cooks 98% of the time. So if he's cooking and he uses every dish in the kitchen, which is the way some people like to my God, so many dishes.
Dripping with venom, go on.
Uses every dish in the kitchen, but he's the one cooking, right? And you hate for the dishes to be all over God's creation in the living room, on the kitchen counter, wherever he puts them, right?
We're talking about your roommate now, right?
My God.
Go on.
So he compromises, and he's not washing as he's cooking, but instead of putting them all over the counter because he knows it drives you crazy, he's going to put them in the sink. Then I feel like your compromise, because he's kind of want to start nothing, because he's cooking, would be that you wash the dishes that are in the that are in the sink. So you guys are, neither of you are getting exactly what you want, because if you were getting exactly what you wanted, Marco, then he would cook and he would wash the dishes as he was cooking, and then by the time that he was done, there'd be like five dishes left, and then those would be done. And if he had it his way, then maybe you guys would split the cooking. Maybe he would really like to cook, but he would just cook and then leave everything everywhere, and then however the kitchen is left after, you would just clean it up and it wouldn't be a thing. But you guys are kind of meeting in the middle. So in that way, I feel like, I mean, that's like a simple scenario, and I think that both things exist. I think the compromise scenario exists where it's like we're both kind of giving something up for the common good, and we're both not getting exactly what it is that we want, but at the same time, we're getting something that we do. And I think the let's pick our battles camp also exists, and I just think it's for different, I think they can't be applied to the same things.
Well, I've come up with other compromising solutions, like things mm-hmm. that I actually would be completely okay with. I was like, let's get Blue Apron. They're not a sponsor, so we ain't gonna get into it. Mm-hmm. But I was like, let's get Blue Apron. That Cut way that we check. Both can cook together. I okay. also, that was one thing that I was like, let's do it together. You don't have to cook as soon as you get home. Mm-hmm. We can cook together. Like, that would give us an opportunity to, like, do something together, have fun together, be mm-hmm. together, cook together. So then that way you don't have to feel like it all is on you. That was one thing I gave him. That was one solution I gave him. That was also in conjunction with the video game playing. Mm-hmm. That was a whole other argument as well. That was a whole other thing. I said, let's do that because that would work. That we haven't done that. Didn't like the how much all of that stuff cost, and didn't want to have to do all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Didn't want to. When that free trial run out, boo.
Oh yeah.
<I'm telling you. laughs> Didn't
want to
do that.
Trust me.
Here's my thing. We spend so much more money on so much more shit.
Of course.
That doing that would be what fine. It mm-hmm. can happen. Like, that was the solution. Like, yes, I can pick a couple of nights, and then truth be told, we started doing the podcast, and so like the nights that I was supposed to be cooking ended up turning into the nights that I ended up having to put podcasts together, right. and put mm-hmm. episodes together and stuff like that. So things just ended up being like, they just started happening. So like I said, I've gotten to the point where like I'm just not affected by it. I have lots of glasses of wine to try to like block it out so that it's not necessarily something that like makes me like angry on a consistent basis, because it's just not worth it at the end of the day. And yes, to answer your question, Steve, the love I have for him is way more than a sink full of dishes.
Mm.
And so I find myself not being bothered by the dishes, because I'm like, we're spending the time together. We're hanging out. It's fine. I love him.
So you still got something out of the situation.
I'm getting something else out of the situation. Yes. Which is my love for him, which is fine. And at the end of the day, dishes don't. So is that a compromise? Maybe. Maybe. I think it's a trade-off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what a compromise is.
I don't know that. Is it by definition? I don't know.
I think it's a form of, like, was it bartering? Is that the, like...
Concessions.
Yeah. Concessions. It's kind of like... And I feel like there's also
you can't... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. There's also this element of, like, how willing are you to step outside of the behavior you would expect from someone?
Right. That's what I was going to say.
So,
yes.
So it's kind of like, we all grew up a certain way, right? We all do things a certain way. How willing are you to kind of resolve the fact that this person doesn't do it the way you do it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like that's where a lot of the argument comes from, is that sometimes people cannot just accept the fact that this person is doing it a different way. But in the end, it still gets done, does it not?
But can I add to that?
Uh-huh.
But then also too, right? You said earlier, like, you are in your head, right? Being mm-hmm. like, I'm just going to do this because I want to avoid an argument because I know that it's going to be an argument. But if you never give it the chance.
Oh, I have.
Then you. Oh, okay. Well,
I have. Yeah, yeah, just, no, I understand what you're like saying, though. Yeah, if you don't bring up the conversations or like have the help, give them the opportunity to acknowledge what you're feeling or all those things. Like if you never give it a chance, then it never is going to get fixed or addressed or properly.
Well, no, that's not actually. What I was going to say was is that sometimes people will surprise you in how, I mean, it's one thing if it's like the same conversation over and over, right? Like the dishes thing is like, it's not something that's going to change, but like you might not know how somebody is going to react to a certain thing that you do. You think that you might know based on like past experience and what goes on that they're going to react a certain way. And so when you're about to do something, you're like, ugh, let me just not so I can avoid the argument. But when you do that, you're taking from them the ability to do it differently. And so it's like, okay, well, every other time he acts in this way, but I don't know, maybe, you know, this is the time where he's going to be like, oh, well, this doesn't necessarily bother me, or, you know what I'm saying? And instead of getting what you actually want, you're preventing yourself from having the ability to get what you actually want because you're avoiding it because you think you're avoiding a confrontation, but it might not actually be a confrontation to begin with.
It's possible. Mm. Yeah, that's one.
Depending on the situation,
and
yeah.
I think a comment you made earlier just adds even more credence to that, which is I thought he was going to react this way.
Right, but that's what I was, yeah. Mm.
But I want to go back to, Steve, what you said a minute ago, which is, you know, I grew up and it was done this way, right? Uh-huh. And I've never understood that mentality that just because it's your experience, you're right. Uh-huh. Like, I just don't get that lack of empathy. Like, right, but just in that moment, like, can't you just turn around and, like, look and see that the exact same thing is true of any human being, including yeah. the other one that you're in conflict with,
yeah.
and just laugh at the fact that you, like, that's just true, and, like, yeah. and just be okay with it.
Well, but then that can be literally mirrored to the other person, though.
And
it hasn't, but, though. And I think that that's where it is, because, like, yes, I can acknowledge that, yeah, that may not necessarily always be, like, the way that things came from me is not necessarily right. I would never in a million years say that it's always, quote-unquote, right. That's not what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that my mom found a really efficient way to go about doing cooking and cleaning simultaneously. You're playing your video games while doing the cooking. And if that wasn't happening, you could be just as efficient as well. And so those are the flips on the, like, there's little bits of things that could be, like, could happen on your end to even, like, try to do it a little bit differently that could end up making it effective for you and end up, like, making me happy, like, end up, because I might be, after everything is all said and done, a little bit more eager to finish the cleaning of the last few dishes in the kitchen if I knew that I wasn't walking into a kitchen that had 70 different dishes in it. If there were only a few dishes that were in there, you would probably get my participation afterwards. But because you haven't changed your things or the way that you're doing it, I'm not going to change the way that I'm going to do things or the way that I feel about things. So that makes it a little bit different too. And so you have to know and understand that, like, the way that you did things were not always right either. And that's okay too, but I can't be the only one expected to come to that realization. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to be willing to do that too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to what extent, how important is the process versus the result to you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of those things where, like, if I had to tie this into, like, say, art, for example, you know, it almost sounds like,
that's a great question.
You know, going to someone and being like, you're not drawing this the way I want you to draw it. Uh-huh. But in the end, it got drawn, didn't it? You know, it's kind of like,
that's a great question.
It's kind of like, you know, respecting the process, because mm-hmm. it's sort of like there's a thing that needs to be done. You know, what's more important, how it got done or the fact that it's done.
And it's not really about what's right, like what's the right way
to
do
like
it.
Yeah, we all have ways of doing it. Exactly.
So many different ways to do it. And I'll be completely honest with you, the effort is more interesting to me than the result.
That's fair.
Okay.
The effort is more interesting to me. I care a lot more about you trying to do it than anything else.
Okay. Or the way that it's done.
I don't care how you get it done. Tony and I see, and that's where we agree. We have the same standards.
Uh-huh.
We have the same standards on cleanliness and how things appear. We have this, Tony's a very neat person, I'm a very clean person. We say this all the time.
Because they're very different things.
Yeah. Tony's a very neat person, I'm a clean person. Tony appreciates my cleanliness and I respect his neatness, right? So we are very, our standards for what things look like at the end are pretty much the same, right? I care more about the effort, the trying to do it and like hearing what is being said and done and stumbling and saying, you know what? We're going off of this example, but like, I know you said that your mom cleans in between like cooking. How does she do that? And I come in and show him like, this is what generally happens and stuff like that. I've tried to do tutorials, like I'll cook and I'm like, see, this is me finishing this pan and cleaning it and doing that, like, and like I've tried to do those things, but at the end of the day he's going to do it the way,
because that just doesn't resonate with him.
It doesn't resonate, and again, for me, it's not enough of an argument to like be so mad, but continue.
So do you ask him what his process is? Do you ask him, but in the same aspect that...
That's a great question.
Like, do you understand where he's coming from?
That is a great question. I've experienced it. I don't know if I've asked him, like, in depth about it, but I've definitely experienced it to, like, I've experienced it more so than asking him about it.
Because I guess I just... I struggle to kind of balance out the kind of, like... which side of the process is like quote unquote right?
I don't think it's a right versus wrong. Yeah. Just so you know, that is totally not my argument. It's like a right versus wrong. For me, more so than anything, is the kitchen needs to be clean.
Yeah.
Right? The kitchen needs to be clean. And I think that we can all be in agreement.
English?
Wine.
I think we all can agree that is the end result. For me, I think that my mom was super efficient in the way that she did it. And it's really cool. And I don't come from the school of like, I cooked, you clean kind of scenario. Like, I just never came. Like, I just never came from that. My mom just never did that. Mm-hmm. Like, and so... she participated. Marvin, on the other hand, he was very much like, I came home, food was clean.
Listen.
Food was on the table.
I ate,
y'all clean the kitchen kind of thing like that. That was definitely Marvin's thing. And I'm not saying to do that either. Again, Carmen used to be like, all right, baby, I'll help you like clean the pots and pans. I'll clean the pots and pans. You guys put the stuff in the dishwasher kind of thing like that. She was very much participating in that. Mm. But again, it took us like 10 minutes. 15 minutes, like, especially if Carmen was helping. Like, do you see what I'm saying? Like, it was, like, super duper quick. We never had, unless Marvin cooked, in which case we were there for, like, 2 hours because it was so many dishes and stuff of that nature. So for me, it's just a matter of, like, she was efficient, she cooked, she cleaned. Like, why not just, like, do that? Like, instead of having things sit overnight or having them sit on the counter, that was the part that really got to me because it was always the common area. It was, like, common areas. Like, I don't want people to, like, walk into this apartment at various points in time and be like, ooh, what's with all this shit on the counter? It's like...
Y'all
like,
finna trigger me.
That was always my thing. I was like, and I was like, it's not even that I, like, need everything to be pristine. I just need the dishes to not have, like, fucking built-on... food sitting on the counter. Like, I don't think that's too much to ask, but maybe it is. Who knows?
So to what extent would you say that... So let's talk personality types, right? So you consider yourself an A-type personality,
totally.
Right? So...
A-plus.
So,
is there an S-class?
So it's my understanding then that, Tony, you understand that about him.
Mm-hmm.
So this goes back to my idea of, like, in pursuit of harmony, you know, being able to kind of step outside of how you're designed, so to speak, to maintain said harmony, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I feel like that's where the love is. It's like, what steps do you take to, like, walk away from how you are in order to have that harmony with the person that you're with?
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
That really would be the great way to do things.
Yeah.
It would. I can be 100% honest and transparent about this issue and have no problem being so.
Mm-hmm.
My issue with the harmony piece is I'm the one doing all the work. And I've made that very clear. So, like, if you do some of the work, it can be exactly how you want. You just have to do some of the work. That's the issue for me. And so, like, I get it. And when I feel like keeping it, like, completely clean, I do. And I think you even hinted at that earlier, that most of the time now it's at least in the sink, if not put away.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly breakfast is always cleaned up 100% of the time right away.
Totally.
But that's my issue in it.
And I will always, and I told Tony this before he even married me, don't think that you married somebody that is going to cook for you, because I do not enjoy cooking. It's not my favorite thing. It actually stresses me out and gives me anxiety. I'm not, it does. I don't like it. I don't like having
I just picked you freaking out in front of, like, toast.
I mean, it's not that intense. And I'm actually...
It's like, oh my God.
I'm not... And it kind of is, because I'm so anxious about, like, the presentation of
food. Because you're a perfectionist.
I'm a perfectionist.
So you're like, it has to taste right. It has to look right. It has to do
all of those things.
Personality
like,
type.
I just don't like cooking. It's not, I don't like fucking grocery shopping. Like, I don't enjoy it. It's just not fun for me. So he did not marry the guy that is going to cook for him. It's just not a thing that's going to happen for me. There are some times where he'll come to me and be like, babe, can you please make your mayo chicken?
Oh my God, that chicken is so good.
It's good though.
My God.
The flavor.
Oh my God. And I'm like,
yes, babe, I'll make the chicken for you, because he loves it. And I'll make sure, and I'll give him his food. I remember when we first dated, he would be like, can you make your spicy spaghetti for me? Like, and he loved my spicy spaghetti.
We ain't
gonna
have
like,
that.
Yeah, I didn't know you did
it's
that.
It's like really
it's real
good.
Simple, but it's real good.
It's really simple, but it's like super good. And so I would like
duly noted.
I'll cook it for you. So there are times where I'll cook and I don't, and so that's why I said it. We can rewind and listen to it. Because I don't cook often, I've decided that it's no longer valid for me to have as much to say about that space.
Gotcha.
So I have taken a seat self-awareness back.
That's right.
On
there
so my expectations.
Oh my God. Here we go.
It is
full circle.
I'm not in that space. Tony says every single time he likes to introduce people, he says, this my house right here. Like, he loves the kitchen.
That is his
space. I let him handle that. I have everything else. So I let him handle that, and that is fine. So my request is just don't leave shit on the fucking sink. Like, or on the counter. Because I don't want people to walk in at various points in time and see shit on the counter.
Which plays to how you handle the rest of the parts of the home that you manage.
Correct. Because if you look at the rest of the home, things are, I won't say fucking meticulous, but they
are
really
put
together.
No, but like you said, like you're, like we said, like you're a perfectionist. So
totally.
And that's what I was saying, where it comes down to like,
somebody's knocking upstairs. We don't know what's happening.
Yeah,
act like you guys can't hear it.
Pretend you can't.
Come in.
The matter of, it's not like right or wrong. Like, there's no like right way to do things. But it comes down kind of to like, what's going to drive what's going to drive me crazy? Or like what you can kind of sort of tolerate that's not really going to bother you as much. I think that's kind of what it goes to, because it's like, okay, Tony, I can't speak for Tony, but Tony, let me speak for myself.
Let's do it.
Because we, listen.
Let's do it. Let's talk about it.
Here it comes.
I'm triggered. Like, okay, I detest a sink full of dishes. I cannot stand it. I was also raised on you clean as you cook. And then when you're done, like the way I cook is like, I will cook. It doesn't matter how many dishes I use. I cook as one thing is cooking. I'm washing it. I put it away. So as I'm going, whatever, things are done. I mean, I'm obviously just cooking for myself at this point. But as I cook, like I will make my plate and I will wash
everything before you even sit
down.
Before
I even sit down to eat. So my plate is on the counter, food on it, ready for me to eat, losing temperature because I'm over here cleaning what's left. So by the time I'm done eating, I just have a fork, a plate, a cup, like situation.
Super simple. I get it.
That's just how I was raised. So that's how I do things. I live with somebody who grew up in the camp of use every dish that's in the kitchen, leave when you're, you know, finished cooking, you sit down and you eat. And when the next person walks into the kitchen, they see dishes in the sink, dishes on the counter, food on the counter. Like, if I was chopping something, the cutting board, whatever is left over from what I was cutting is also on the cutting board. The knife is there. The stove is a mess. There's food on the stove. There's food out. Like, I will put the food, like, if there's leftover food and I'm just eating for myself, I will put the food away before I sit down to eat. Like, that's just how I am. Absolutely. So... I say all that to say is I understand the person that I'm living with, and I know that they came from that camp of life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, knowing that it makes me crazy that they live that way, I know that it makes me crazy, but I also know that I can't do anything to change. Like, we're not in a relationship. We live together, and we're friends.
But isn't that a relationship?
It is a relationship. We're not a different kind of relationship. It's a different... So, like, here's the thing. Like, we don't... We're kitties. Oh, God. that gave me heartburn.
We know it affected Steve.
Oh, God. We're not romantically involved, and she is a really close friend of mine. So there is love for each other, but it's not, I mean, it's not the same type. But in that moment, when she leaves the kitchen a mess and I have to go in, I'm like, okay. Kind of like in Marco's camp, like, this is not worth a fight. I know that this is how she was brought up. I get that this is how she cooks or prepares a meal. I know this is the kitchen, whatever. But knowing that it makes me crazy, because my thing is that I'm not doing anything in that scenario that's going to set her off. We live together. For it to be harmonious, like, we need to be considerate of the other person. We cook separate meals. We're not eating the same meal. So it's kind of like a different scenario, because for her to leave the kitchen like that, it impedes upon me. Because when I can't fully prepare the meal that I need to prepare for myself to have dinner, because the kitchen is in shambles. Whereas she can walk in directly after me and cook whatever the hell she needs to cook, and it's not a problem. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And so what I started doing was, because I know it makes me crazy when she did that.
You just cook before her?
Either cook before her,
mm-hmm.
or when I was feeling extra petty.
Get your own pots and pans?
No, because I'm not finna do that.
Oh, that's real good.
But
you cook around it.
I cooked, right. So you what I actually did was, because I'm
why
also...
Why is it that I know that answer so quickly?
Well, I either cook around it if I can, but sometimes, you know, the dishes are like the same dishes that I need.
Or you clean around.
Or I start cleaning the things that I need to use.
But then you don't clean them when you're done.
Nah, but that shit hit different. Yeah, when you sitting in the living room with your man and you just prepare a dinner for you and your man, and now I have to go in there and prepare a dinner, and you hear that sink turn on and I'm washing dishes, you immediately feel like shit. Because then you're like, oh my God, like, I just left the kid. Like, she's washing our dishes because she needs... And then that's when the hustle, you know, get in. So it's like... You kind of gotta, like, yeah, pick your battles.
Mm.
But it's the way that the battles are fought...
Totally. And that's my thing, is there is like this aspect of pettiness that comes from me that I don't love.
I don't love it. But she there.
I know, there's things that just happen because like, I'll find myself, I will find myself putting my dishes away and then leaving his dishes
on. Oh, I've totally washed all of my dishes and left their dishes in the sink.
And I hate that feeling.
Yeah.
Like, I hate it. Like, I don't like doing that because I'm like, I don't want to be this person that's doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to do that. Like, I want to be like, I want things to be harmonious, but like, for whatever reason, like, I'm being this like petty LaBelle over here that is
petty
like
wop.
Doing this petty wop, peppermint petty, and doing it, and it's just not cute, and I just don't like it. But at the end of the day, apologies.
LOL. Great segue. Yeah,
right? Crazy. Yeah. No, I'm think
glad we talked about apologizing. Look, sorry, listeners. I brought it back.
I think that at the end of the day, when you're in a relationship with a person, there are different personalities that are involved.
Mm-hmm.
Your greatest ally is your ability to get the fuck over yourself.
Yes.
And apologize and quote unquote
compromise.
No, yeah. and just give yourself the opportunity to put yourself in your partner's shoes, mm-hmm. and know and understand. Again, I am not as emotional as my husband. I am not as affected by things. I don't feel as beautifully, because it is beautiful. I do respect the fact that you feel the way that you do. I am not capable of
it. I don't like when you say that, because because it's not accurate information. It's a matter of like having the self-awareness. I think apologies are more about self-awareness and totally. Understanding how you operate as an individual.
Totally.
And then how your operations affect somebody else. But I also feel as though like y'all both are very emotional people. Mm-hmm. We all are. Everybody is emotional. Oh, totally. The people, nobody on this planet, mm-hmm. unless you're a complete sociopath or psychopath,
guilty,
are void of emotion. You know what I'm saying? Unless there's like something like that we can call on the DSM that is wrong with you. You know what I'm saying? That you lack emotion. Everybody has emotion. It's just like how open and how you are able to articulate those emotions and how willing you are to express those emotions in the way that you do.
It's not mm-hmm. that I think I'm emotionless. I think that I just don't. I think my emotions don't spill out the way Tony's do. Right. My emotions are kind of like, because again, I think I tend to be a lot more logical than I am emotional. So my thing is like, I feel, and then I go back to like, but what are the logistics behind it? Mm-hmm. Where does that make
because
sense?
Because you're processing your emotions internally. Correct. So you feel something and then you think it through and you're like, okay, what is this? And then what comes out of your mouth is the logistics side, because you've already processed it.
I put it through.
Whereas Tony's like, I'm going to feel this. I'm going to say this. Feelings.
And I'm like, oh my god, yeah. I didn't have
and then
my
that hits you
down.
Like off, because you're like, I don't mm-hmm. like together. Does not compute.
No, it's crazy. But at the end of the day, it's again, I love you. I love you, bitch.
Y'all are hella cute. Oh my god,
I love you, bitch.
I think that so my final thoughts on this.
Steve's final thoughts. I'm into it. Move over, Jerry Springer.
We're gonna cut this part anyway. Go ahead, Steve.
God damn it. So, stay with me here. If I may nerd out for a second,
please.
Design
Let's
style.
Talk nerdy.
I don't know that I'm drunk enough for this.
So, if
I am,
say for example.
We have to make this light, because it got real heavy for a real long time. It is continue, sorry.
I think, so there's an aspect of pride mm-hmm. here, right? Mm-hmm. And so Ooh. The example I would like to use is, say for example, I'm kind of, if I'm doing a digital illustration, right? Mm-hmm. And somebody comes up to me and tells me, oh, if you reduce the opacity on a particular layer, you'll get a richer image, as opposed to me kind of like doing it a different way, say reducing the opacity on the brush tool itself.
Ain't that yes, shit
I follow
sexy?
You. I follow
Y'all
you.
Hear that? Oh my god!
Stay with me now. So in the end, as another artist,
you
this person,
I was like, huh?
You didn't lose your opacity?
No, so I went to school with her. I know.
So
that's my cousin.
So in the end, the person providing
She's
this feedback
definitely in jail right now. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No worries. The person providing Child this neglect. Feedback is also familiar with the style of work, right? Mm-hmm. So in the end, this person, all they want to do is support you. Mm-hmm. All they want to do is help you achieve the richest image possible, Ooh. Right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's up to us to understand and kind of like step outside ourselves mm-hmm. to know that like from another person's angle, you know, perhaps the way they do it produces a richer image than the way that I was doing it, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So it's like sense. Pride. It's just kind of like, are you willing to kind of just step out of how you know to do it and kind of just like, oh, like maybe this is more efficient. Maybe this is faster. Maybe this, you know, it's kind of like all these things that you do. And in the end, it's because the person supports you and the person loves you and they want you to achieve the richest image possible.
Spark notes, get the fuck over yourself and let me love you, period.
No, I like to take the long way around.
See, no, it's
that's true, because there are certain aspects of a... but there are certain aspects of a... I just, like, knocked shit over. But there are certain aspects of a relationship. Like, I love Tony intensely, and I always tell people, the second you come to my camp, you protect it. Right? That's it, like, and I love him so intensely, and I just want so much and the best for him, and I just want things, and I know that there may be things that, not again, not because it's right v wrong, right, it just, there are things, and I'm like, you're doing this, I'm trying to make life easier for you, or like,
let me upgrade,
you know, I, right, and I just want things to look and feel and be and do differently and more efficiently and, you know, and brilliantly and effectively. One of the things that you've said all the time is that you love the home that we've built. I take pride in that, because I want a lovely home for you. I want you to walk in and feel comfortable, and that's why I buy lamps and candles and centerpieces because I want you to come home and I want you to have those things, you know, and all of those things look great, but they won't if there's a fucking counter full of dishes.
Full fucking circle.
Oh my God.
And this is why the segment is always called We Ain't Shit. Because you see it?
Petty.
This is why we can't have nice things. This is why we can't have nice things.
You can't. How can you be tranquil with some calla lilies and some mayo chicken that is dried on a plate?
Stop talking about mayo chicken. I ain't eating all day. We talking about mayo chicken.
That's fine. So thank you guys so much for being a part of this episode of We Ain't Shit.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we need like a little like song. We
a little
like,
jingle. A jingle.
Oh my God.
We Ain't Shit.
Get on it, Steve.
I'll get right on it.
Steve's looking for voice work, by the way, y'all.
If anybody knows somebody who needs a voiceover or voice.
Testing. Testing. One.
Oh, that has
three.
Not made you all sorts of erect and
Yeah, you could just be a sex operator. Just do that. You'll be fine.
Oh my God, you should do that. Should totally. They make hella money.
We're going to talk about it.
Okay. Next episode.
I don't think I could do it, but you should.
I know. I don't have the...
I can try.
I'll try that. That's going to be my next avenue.
I don't have the base to be able to do it. Steve's got it. Because Steve can say things like, drop your panties. And you'd be like...
Say it, Steve. Say it.
Drop your panties.
Oh, bitch.
See?
That's the only time you'll ever say that, Steve.
See?
One and only time, people.
This is what I'm saying. I'm in a constant state of trying to upgrade people. Like, I'm trying to get your bank account on check.
It needs it.
Pun intended.
Money checks.
All right. Money.
You guys, tell our friends where they can find you. Our followers' friends.
So
Erica does all types of makeup.
So you know, I'm not right. I also am a makeup artist. I'm not even gonna get into what I really be doing, but you can follow me at _Erica E-R-I-K-A. Does beauty _ and you can see all my amazing makeup and work that I do, and it's really popping. I have a new look on there right now for y'all who have watched Euphoria.
Damn,
shit is on point.
I need to watch that.
And that's my makeup page, and then my other page is _Erica E-R-I-K-A does it better _ because I do.
Snap.
Snap.
And here come the vowels. Go ahead, Steve. Yep,
and the vowels. Get ready, y'all. All right. So you can find me on Instagram at Steven. That's...
It's the extension of the neck when you said at Steven.
So that's at STEEEEE. VN.
That's five E's.
Five E's, y'all. So just type that in, you'll find me. I'm trying to post more art because I don't
know. Such a talent.
I've been very busy lately.
Steve is hella talented. He will never tell you, but he is talented as fuck. Y'all need to follow him right now.
You know what you need to do? You need to make an account that's called Paint Me Like One of Your French Girls. Where you just... Does nobody remember that?
We know. Yes. We got it.
I was like, Erica and Tony were looking at me like, ugh. And I'm like, oh, they're uncultured. So anyways.
Never that. Boo-boo kitty.
I love it.
I'm not watching a James Cameron film, really? That's culture? Yeah. All right, go on.
Quite. And that's the only thing I'm kind of really... on, so you can find me there.
Okay, humble as fuck. Y'all need to follow him, deadass.
Oh, you gotta tell people about your new website?
Hello?
Oh, true. Right.
I got y'all see what I'm saying?
You look at what we're working with.
He got a whole... But DK, y'all got need voice over work, but the work that he's doing right now...
I done told y'all I'm bad at this.
We're his PR agency.
Dear God.
So I do have a website, too.
ETM. ETM Entertainment Management.
Oh, my God. All right.
Don't fuck with me. I know. Listen. Get
the website
a bag.
Is...
I'm sorry, it's entertainment.
www.stevearts.com. That's STEE. Only two E's this time. It's much easier. STEEVNARTS.com. And I have all my work on there.
That's right.
Yeah, illustration, digital, graphic design, animation, everything. It's all there. So that's that.
Pimpin'. All right. We are going to take a short break. Thank you guys so much for being a part of this hair episode.
Always. Thank you.
Y'all come back now, you hear? Sugar.
We'll be right back.
Y'all ain't shit.
Hey, folks. It's your favorite hosts, Tony.
And Marco.
We need to ask a favor. Please stop what you're doing this very moment and head to your favorite podcast directory and rate and review Relationship.
We know. It's a big ask, but... We need your help in getting the word out about the podcast, and your reviews are the best ways to make that happen.
So if you have 2 minutes, please go and give us a 5-star rating.
Then, write a review and tell everyone about how much you love our voices.
Or how we're your favorite hosts.
Or that this really important conversation is helping you along the way.
Just a few ideas, you know, in case you get writer's block.
Anyways, we appreciate your help and thank you for the support. Your participation will only make relationship better.
We're going to get back to the show now, but we love all of you.
Thanks.
Well, what do you think? Is that going to do it for this week's episode?
I think so, yes. Thanks for tuning in and being a part of this really important conversation.
Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram @PodRelationship. And don't forget to subscribe and rate us. Force someone you know to do the same.
Yes, force them, please. Hold them against their will and make it happen.
Grab their hand and click that mouse.
Yeah. You can also email us at relationshipquestions@gmail.com if you have any situations or comments that you'd like us to address here on the show.
And don't forget to check out our IGTV channel, Relationship, for a behind-the-scenes post-show conversation about this week's episode.
Tony and I will harass your ears next week.
And remember, if you can't say something nice, don't say shit.